The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, let's have some fun. It's time for a numbers game. Gil Alexander on a very well-deserved vacation. So I'm in Joe Cirillo alongside Kelly Bidlin, per usual. Kelly, we're going to have a fun 2 weeks here, my man.
Let's go, Joey C. Notes. Welcome back to the show.
I am excited. How about this terrific guest list that Kelly has put together for us? We're going to have Drew Dinzik on here in hour one. John Fanta going to join the show as well in the first hour to talk about a locked and loaded college hoops. Look, college hoops, that's my thing this time of year. I am excited for this Tuesday night action. We've got little fun NBA action on a Monday night. Luka Doncic, officially a Laker, suits up for the first time. Kelly, what were your thoughts on his debut?
Oh, man, it was great to see. It's still shocking. I kept saying, Joe, I don't know that I was really going to be able to mentally get past this trade until I saw him suit up in a Lakers uniform, and we finally got that last night. Look, it was a short debut for Luka, limited minutes, 24 minutes, scores 14 points, did struggle a bit from the field. But it was great to see him out there, and I think this is going to be really interesting to watch the rest of the season. I kept thinking about things throughout the game as I was watching, Joe, and it's. I think if you saw this kind of move at the beginning of the season, you would say that you'd probably see a lot of LeBron and Luka kind of platooning with different units, because I think that'd be the best way to get through the regular season. The problem is in this short stretch before the playoffs, they got to play these two as much together as possible just so they learn how to play off of each other. So I think it's going to be really, really interesting to watch them going forward. I definitely think there's some betting angles to this Lakers team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, 30 games left. It's not like they have a whole lot of time to get acclimated. I think it's enough, but certainly not enough time to afford letting those guys swap in and out. I will say, you talk about numerous betting angles, and we'll dive into them, and I'm sure that you've got a lot of information to drop on us with regard to that. I think LeBron James, his assist numbers are going to be worth looking at the rest of the way. I think that that's probably the best way, because points, any given night, Luka can go for 50. LeBron could take a back seat, only have 18, 20. Lakers could still win by 20-plus points. But I'm going to be looking at LeBron in terms of rebounds and mainly assists the rest of the way.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you know, he's always active everywhere, but I do think we're going to see him. We've seen LeBron do this before, right? It's take a step back a little bit when it comes to scoring and even some of the usage rate stuff, just to get other guys more comfortable. And that's going to be so important here down the stretch with Luka. So I like that. The only bet I made last night on the game was I went over on Walker Kessler's rebounds, which did get home. He finished with 12. I think right away with, and this has nothing to do with Luka Doncic, it's the Mark Williams fallout of the trade that the Lakers made to add a big to pair with Luka, with a lob threat for him and LeBron to have. And they are so thin when it comes to bigs now in LA that I think that immediately that's going to be what I'm going to look to attack almost every matchup, as long as there's a center on that other side that's going to be able to hit the boards like Walker Kessler does. He finished with 12 rebounds last night, but John Collins, talk about his front court running mate, 11 rebounds, so 23 combined between those guys. I would expect to see that a fair amount with these starting units on the floor. So that's what I'm going to focus on early. Look, I think we've heard a lot of this, Joe. Overs, Lakers team total over. I think all that could apply, but I want to see it play out a little bit more first before I start betting those.
Yeah, pretty funny. Kessler and Collins combined for 23. Utah was still -5 on the glass. The Lakers, led by Austin Reeves, he had 9. How are you going to bet Reeves now? Are you going to be looking at him at all with the Doncic deal and with Williams not going through? Is Reeves a guy, boards, threes, anything there that intrigues you?
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a pretty good game last night, he's been on a tear recently. I think it's just naturally, like you brought up with LeBron, right, for looking at rebounds and assists. Naturally, these guys are going to have to take a bit of a step back as Luka finds his footing with the Lakers. Right. Austin Reeves, I think the only way you can look is unders. That was the only way I could look right now, but it's one of those, understand the books are making these adjustments as well, right? They're not idiots. They know what's going on. They know that a high usage rate coming with Luka Doncic, it's going to take the ball out of the hands of Reeves and LeBron a little bit more. So, and you have to adjust those numbers accordingly. So I do expect those to be adjusted, but Austin Reeves is playing great ball right now. So I'm not running to bet unders right now.
Yeah, Reeves is doing well. We've got the Lakers 17-1 to win it all, +750 to win the West. either of those intrigue you? Personally, I think plus 750 to win the conference is very live. And you look at their veteran leadership and their experience, I think that's the major edge against Oklahoma City, who's practically even juice to win the West. Obviously, Denver, they're the only other team shorter than the Lakers at plus 650. I'm not really bought into this Denver team. I think plus 750 is a reasonable price post-trade for these Lakers.
Yeah, there is. Look, I can't hate it when you're talking about two of the best players in the world playing on this on the same court together, in the same uniform together, to be more specific. When we get to the playoffs, the type of experience those two have is huge. I can't get on board, though, with it, Joe, just because, I mean, look, I made a bet as soon as Luka got traded, and it was on the favorite Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought the biggest threat that they had to them was the Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic, and when they moved him to the Lakers, that made it time for me to finally pull the trigger. I got in on Thunder at plus 120, I believe. I think at plus money, it's still a good bet. This team has been so dominant. They are so deep. Redundancy at so many positions that they can throw at you, even if they do have an injury or two. If it's not SGA, they should be okay. And I think you're looking at a Western Conference show that it's got a very, very good, deep amount of teams, but there's a separation between the greatness of the Thunder at the top and every other one of these teams. Like you said, I think there's this Nuggets team. Nikola Jokic is amazing. He's the best player in the world. They're not as good as they were a year ago.
They are hot right now, though.
They are hot. Not as good as they were a year ago. I don't fully trust the Lakers. I don't fully trust the Rockets. I don't fully trust the Clippers. And Timberwolves, I think they took a step back with their roster. The Mavericks. Look, the Grizzlies are the biggest threat in my mind to the Thunder, but even them, I think when you're looking at pure talent on this team across the board, they don't compare to what Oklahoma City's throwing out there.
Yeah, I struggled to trust Memphis down the stretch here. I mean, just threw the standings up. You notice two teams trending in the right direction. Denver, and even though they're down there in the seventh seed, right now they'd be in that play-in. Minnesota trending in the right direction from where they were earlier in the season. You got a couple teams trending in the wrong direction. Houston was in that 2-3 seed range not too long ago, and I think their youth is starting to show a little bit. It's why I thought Houston would have been a really exciting spot for Jimmy Butler to land, because they've got the young talent. I wanted to see the savvy vet, obviously, 35 years old, loads of playoff experience. I wanted to see Butler fit in with Houston. What's Golden State's ceiling right now? They're sitting there in that 10 spot. They've got Jimmy, obviously a big win at Milwaukee, but no Giannis for the Bucks. Steph puts up 38. How far can they go?
I think they're maybe the biggest wild card. I'm glad you brought them up, Joe, because I think it's a very, very interesting pairing, putting Jimmy Butler on that team. And I think it's either going to equal greatness or be a complete disaster. Him, Draymond, and Steph are either going to fit together so well. And Steph's made some comments already where it's interesting playing with Jimmy Butler because he's a complete opposite player of him. And it's true. I mean, you're talking about a guy. It's a type of player, though, they haven't had in a long time, really since Kevin Durant, of what attacking the rim on offense, being able to get to the free throw line consistently, take a little pressure off of that outside shooting that they rely on so much. And I think that's big offensively. Defensively, we know what he can do. It's just, if Steph has a bad shooting night, Buddy Hield has a bad shooting night, does all of a sudden the Golden State Warriors, that we've known for years as being this amazing three-point shooting team, do they have struggles now when you have Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green and the likes of those guys on the court? I could definitely be an issue, but man, I think it's an interesting grouping. The way that Kerr loves to run his offense, Steph runs it. It's such a savvy mental player is Jimmy Butler, that those guys I think are going to be able to play off each other pretty well. I'm really interested to see how it plays out there in Golden State.
It should work, but Butler getting a little long in the tooth. I mean, it almost feels like Golden State made a win now move in a year where they're sitting there at the 10 seed. I don't really think it's a win now season for Golden State. We'll see what they do next year, but Butler inks that extension, about 60 mil per year AAV. This is a guy who rarely plays 60 games. I mean, what were your thoughts on that extension? I don't like to complain about contracts. Thought it was absurd.
Yeah, it's a problem for another year, though, Joe, because I think the way you look at it now, if you're Golden State, you get a Jimmy Butler who's fresh because he hasn't played many games this year, and now you get him for the stretch run, rest of the regular season into the playoffs, having a lot less mileage on his legs than he normally would have at this point. You're right. I think it's a problem for another year. I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue this year, but it's definitely a good point. I mean, the extension was... Look, it was the only way they were going to get him,
right?
Is if they signed him to an extension. So you kind of got to take it for what it is. But it's going to be big money on the books the next couple of years.
Team we were just talking about, Minnesota, trending in the right direction. Not so much last night. They lose to Cleveland 128-107. Started 0-16 from the floor. Edwards finishes with 44. He was pretty much the sole contributor to their offense. Is this more of an indictment on Minnesota, or does this show that Cleveland's the real deal, this blowout win for the Cavs?
Man, it is. Yeah, Cleveland just keeps doing it. It's getting hard to deny at this point. I don't know if I still am that big of a believer in them long term.
3-1 to win the East.
I know.
I mean, come on.
It's silly. I know. And I still think, look, they've been so good. I loved the addition of DeAndre Hunter. We'll see what it does down the stretch here, because that was always the question mark with this team. Would they have enough strength offensively and defensively on the wings to be able to compete? You don't see many teams constructed like they are, with so heavy at the guards and heavy down low with the bigs, and they were lacking a little bit on the wings. So adding DeAndre Hunter, I think, has the opportunity to be huge for them. But, man, I think when this Knicks team and Celtics team are healthy and playing well, they're still the two teams to beat in the Eastern Conference. Once we get to the playoffs, Joe, regular season basketball is another thing.
Knicks plus 450 to win the East. Any intrigue?
I'm intrigued, yes.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Celtics, you're laying 5 cents. I can't get there.
No,
you can't have me lay money on the Celtics right now at this point.
No, they're not. And this is one of the toughest things to handicap in the NBA right now is figuring out, okay, are the Celtics – are there real problems? And if there are problems, how big of a deal are they? Or how much of this is just them kind of cruising into the playoffs, knowing they'll pick it up when they get there?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jason Tatum had a great game last night offensively with 33. I've seen too many duds. I've seen too many 16, 17, 18-point performances out of him lately in games that they lose. Not games that they're coasting, but games that they lose. So we'll see with Boston. Going to take a look at the NFL up next. I still haven't given my final thoughts on the Super Bowl. I had the day off yesterday. We'll dive into that, dive into some futures market stuff. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues here on a Tuesday morning. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola. I'm excited to take it back to the Progressive guest line here now. Welcome in our friend, college hoops broadcaster over on Fox, John Fanta, into the program. John, how are you, man? Welcome into the show.
You guys are not talking to John Fanta.
Go. Oh. We got to screw up here then. Well, wrong number.
Oh, that is too good. You guys thought you booked John Fanta?
Oh, yeah, we sure did. We sure did. I'm sorry.
That's what we were told, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, we got numbers screwed up there. It's got numbers screwed up. Who do we got on?
Oh, that's good. My name is John. You guys got that part of it right. I am a college basketball broadcaster.
Oh, my gosh.
I will say this, though, before you guys let me go. John Fanta is an incredible human being, and I completely understand why you would want to have him on your show.
Oh, my gosh. We are so sorry about the confusion here. I am so sorry. But look,
real quick, can I give myself like a social media pump since I'm a victim here?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm obviously a victim.
Absolutely.
Here. You can follow my work on X, John Martin 929. I am on Field of 68. John is my coworker, so I could see where this would get mixed up.
John, we must have screwed up numbers. You want to stick around and talk some college hoops with us?
John, we got a jam-packed Tuesday slate. Yeah. Why don't you hang around? Yeah.
We already got you, man.
That's fine. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. Let's start with the Big East, man. Creighton, UConn. We've got a rematch here. The Jays have already gone into Connecticut taking care of the Huskies. What do you like in this game tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of times what you deal with is the market kind of acts, right? And the first move was on UConn here, and it's understandable because, you know, this UConn team's getting a little healthier. I mean, you kind of did see the difference there in the early parts of that game against St. John's, the difference that Liam McNeely makes, clearly. You know, I do think St. John's a tough matchup for them because St. John's, I think, is probably the toughest team in America, and they just don't stop punching. And you know, Creighton's a little different. You know, Creighton's built a little differently. They're more going to be the finesse, you know, the skill. And so, you know, I think you get a UConn team that's really hungry tonight. I don't know how much meat on the bone there still is at three, but I'm still inclined to take the points here with UConn against a Creighton team that's been flying super high. They're really good. Like, I'm not trying to take that away, but I think this UConn team responds tonight and finds a way to spring the upset on the road.
Yeah, Dan Hurley after a loss, always scary to go up against. Let's take it to the SEC. A lot of action in that conference tonight. Alabama got them yesterday, laying 3 at Texas. This number now 4, 4.5 at most shops. Does that 1 point to 1.5 difference make you inclined to take the points with Texas? What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of guys I talked to, you know, and when I'm doing college basketball stuff and, you know, college basketball betting, I mean, they love this spot for Alabama. You know, Texas, you know, we talk about, you have an arrow, right? The arrow points up, the arrow points down. And I think for this Texas team, the arrow is pointing down. I love Trey Johnson. Like, they have sort of individual talent, but, you know, I'm not really a big fan of backing a team that's kind of led by Arthur Kaloum, but like, he's just an inefficient player. You know, they're dealing with some injuries. You know, I don't know if Weaver's in. I like Weaver, but if he's not in there, you know, I don't really have a lot of interest in Texas. So I would be inclined to take Bama. Although, again, you know, this is a second straight road game for them, you know, in the SEC. Like, right. These do kind of catch up with you. So I don't love it at 3. Like, you are paying a bit of a tax relative to what you see on KenPom and Torvik. But, you know, if I was to take a side in this one, I would go Bama.
John Martin with us right now on the Progressive Guest Line. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JohnMartin929. Catch his great work over at the Field of 68 and, of course, on 92.9 ESPN Radio as well. Sticking in the SEC, you look at a team coming off a big win here at the top-ranked Auburn Tigers. Florida now, a couple days later, they've got to go to Starkville. Tough environment. It's all being factored in. It's why the third-ranked Gators are only laying 1.5. Would you lay it with them, John?
See, this is another one of those spots, right? This is another one of those, like, if I have a manual, like a blackjack manual, it would say you bet Mississippi State. Like, I understand that. I do. But, like, why would I not be inclined to lay the points with Florida? I mean, this Mississippi State team has definitely faded once they hit SEC play. And I realize, like, Florida's got some injury issues. I understand all that. But, look, they were competitive at Kentucky in a game where Kentucky shot the absolute lights out. We know what they just did at Auburn. They just smacked Tennessee in a revenge spot. Is it possible that they just have an unbelievably bad shooting night with that Mississippi State defense? It is, but, you know, if you modify this, I mean, if you look at KenPom, if you look at the Torvik modified things, I mean, there's really nothing that's going to get you to Mississippi State +1.5 here. So you're just really betting the spot. And I'll be honest, guys, like, I hate doing that. I hate betting spots. I mean, I know that in college basketball, like, they come in, I realize that, but if I don't have the math to support it and my eyes don't support it, it's likely to stay away from me. This got down to a pick this morning at some spots and then immediately got bet back. And I think that's correct. I think Florida, it might be close. It might be one possession type of game, but I don't really feel like I'm getting any kind of discount betting Mississippi State here. So it would be Florida or pass for me.
I'd have to imagine if you're on Mississippi State, you probably also like the under 152.5, because I just don't think the Bulldogs can keep up with Florida's shooting. If this one becomes a high scoring game, it's going to be all Florida all night. Sticking with an interesting spot here, Kentucky hosting Tennessee. They've already gone to Knoxville and beaten the Vols. Now they're catching 3 at home in Lexington. Can the Wildcats go 2-0 against Tennessee this year?
You know, I have not really been able to get on the right side of this Tennessee team all season, man. Like, when I thought that they were going to really take off, like, I bet them both times. Actually, here's what I did. I bet them on the road at Florida.
Yeah, me too, man.
They screwed me there. And then I bet Florida on the road at Tennessee, and that was even before Ziegler and Milicic were ruled out, and I managed to get that game wrong twice. So I have not really been the Tennessee basketball whisperer this season. But I really would be inclined to take the points at home with Kentucky. Lamont Butler's playing. Like, obviously, it is a revenge spot for Tennessee because Kentucky went in there and won. But I don't know. I think it's just a big switch when you go from playing at Oklahoma with a bunch of freshmen and no rim protection to on the road now to Kentucky, who's got a bunch of different bigs, getting healthier, and I think they just run the best offense in college basketball. So, I mean, is it possible they shut the water off? Sure, but I would take the points with the home dog here.
Yeah, I like the spot for Kentucky, too. Mark Pope's team can certainly shoot the lights out. Let's shift gears a little bit to some Big 12 action. You talked about earlier with Florida, Mississippi State betting the spot, and that's not necessarily your thing to do if the numbers don't back it up. Kansas State getting a lot of love here as a 3.5-point dog at home against an Arizona team that's as hot as anyone in the country. Would you lay the 3.5 with Arizona, or do you think Kansas State does to them what they've done to a couple other high-profile opponents lately?
Yeah, I mean, actually, Kansas State is the hottest team in America. I know a lot of people, and the bar was low, to be clear. Like, they were a disaster to start the season. But if you go back to January 20th, which is an arbitrary date that I'm using just to support my argument, which I would recommend anybody do, right?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you admitting that, because we all do it, but we don't all admit it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we got to admit it. Kansas State's number one at Torvik since January 20th. They just beat Kansas. They won at Arizona State. Obviously, they have they beat the brakes off Iowa State. I think this is a good spot at home for Kansas State. I do. I mean, I realize that at some point the carriage probably does turn back into a pumpkin. But, like, let's not forget, I mean, they spent more in the portal in NIL than basically anybody. So the talent is there. And Coleman Hawkins has shown the kind of matchup nightmare he can be. So I don't know. I think you're kind of catching a little bit of a discount here with Kansas State at home. Obviously, 3 weeks ago, it would have been a much bigger number. But I think still, when you look at their recent form, Arizona's a great team, man. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but I've got this closer to a pick. So I would absolutely be on Kansas State plus 3, 3.5 here.
John, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much for hopping on. Appreciate the picks.
Yeah, no problem, fellas. Appreciate it.
Have a great one. Follow him again on Twitter at JohnMartin929. Catch his terrific work over at the Field of 68. Folks, sports betting never slows down, and neither should you. With the Daytona 500 coming this weekend, the NBA and NHL in full swing, the PGA Tour underway, and baseball as well as March Madness right around the corner, there is no shortage of action to wager on. Start betting smarter now with a VSiN Pro subscription. For as little as $9.99, you'll get a daily email with all the plays from hosts and their guests, expert analysis, deep dive stats, and exclusive insights to help you make the smartest picks. Don't place your bets unprepared. Get full access today for only $9.99 your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe.
All right. Well, thanks for John Martin for playing along there. That worked well.
I have never seen that happen before.
And my bad, Joe.
It was great. It was a blast.
John's great.
First day on a numbers game. 2 weeks to go. Who's counting? Back after this.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, book now and you can get the trip of a lifetime right here at Circa. You don't want to miss this. 15% off at 3 fabulous properties. Derek Stevens offering an incredible deal if you want to stay at the D Hotel, the Golden Gate, or of course, Circa Las Vegas. You don't want to miss it. Stadium Swim, I was there all day Sunday for the Super Bowl, bringing you coverage. It's the best scene in town. So go to CircaLasVegas.com, use the code VSIN15, you'll get your 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. As the numbers game continues, he's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. Kelly, not as locked and loaded of an NBA slate tonight as the college hoops one that we've got, but we've still got 4 games. Talked a little bit about it earlier with Drew Dinsick. He gave out Chicago plus 5 hosting Detroit. You mentioned the Bulls have won how many of their last 20?
17 of the last 20
against
games
Detroit.
Against Detroit, against the Pistons.
I should have clarified that instead of just saying of their last 20.
No, they have not been that good of a basketball team, no.
They haven't. What do you think about that call? Are you going to tail them on that? Do you have anything else in this game?
So that one, not really. It was pretty tight. It's one of those interesting setups where they play again tomorrow in Chicago. So you get that, it's the home and then home again situation for the Bulls. So this one, don't get me wrong, at current price where it opened at Pistons 3, 236.5, we have moved in the Pistons direction. I get it from Drew's standpoint. you're looking at a home dog situation with Chicago. Yes, this team has lost players. Zach LaVine no longer there. Vucevic still there somehow. I don't know, even though we've been talking about trading him for 2 years. They're catching five at home. That's probably where I'd lean. You're talking about last, you know, 5-5 for Detroit, their last 10 games, about mid-level net rating. Chicago 3-6 over their last nine, but have had to go through all the trade stuff, kind of getting their feet back underneath them. I always bring up the 17-3 of the last 20. I bring that up, Joe, more from a Detroit perspective. I mean, you finally got a good team. You know, these some of these guys that have been playing on this team that have suffered through that streak have that in mind whenever they go and play a team like this that they've lost so many against. So, I, you know, worth noting, but 4-10 ATS Chicago over their last 14 games. They've been struggling just to get their feet underneath them here. Now we're getting a little bit away from the trade deadline. Do expect this team to come together a little bit, but not much for me on that game. Raptors 76ers, we get that one in Philly tonight. It looks like Embiid's probably going to play, but he is a big questionable right now.
Has been questionable for a decade.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of weird that he's even listed. This is where I don't want to go too heavy into this game because you got to watch the injury report always with Philadelphia, but especially right now with Joel Embiid. I listed questionable. The dude's talking about, though, how he might need knee surgery again after this season, so you can't imagine he's in all of that great of a place. It does look like Paul George will be a go. He's listed at probable, and then the Raptors got all kinds of their own injury problems right now. RJ Barrett out for this game, Jakob Poeltl out for this game, Grady Dick looks like he will go, expect Brandon Ingram to go. Yes, he is a Toronto Raptor now. So it's tough. This number opened to like 7 Philadelphia. We're all the way out to 9. That's getting a little hefty. If anything, I'd be looking at the Toronto side now. The problem is with no Poeltl in there, if Embiid goes, he's probably going to be able to get whatever he wants inside. The Knicks, Pacers, that's, we got a couple great games. Knicks, Pacers, and Grizzlies, Suns. I'm really excited about those two. Knicks, Pacers, this was a lean to the Knicks for me. 6-2 in their last 8, plus 5.6 net rating. We've seen this Pacers team that was really hot for a while slow down a little bit. They're coming off a little bit, a road trip, 5-3 over their last 8, just kind of a mid-range net rating over that time. Worth noting, total's gone over in the last 6 of the last 7 of the Knicks games and 6 of the last 8 Indiana Pacers games. Now, no surprise at all to see this total get bet up. We're up to 240, 241 on this one. I still wouldn't be looking under on it, Joe, though. It would be over or nothing for me. And Knicks, pretty strong lean to the Knicks for me. I might wait with a higher scoring game like this, always in the NBA. I think this is one you can wait to see if you can get a better number in game and attack it from that perspective. Otherwise, at least wait. I'm expecting OG Anunoby gets ruled out for New York, so this number probably comes down a bit.
That's what I was going to ask you. How much does that factor in, and are you waiting on that injury news? You're just saying, hey, I'm going to assume he's out and I'll still lay 2.5?
I won't lay it pregame. I'll look to get involved live, but I would expect this number to come down a little bit, though, once he gets ruled out. It won't come down much. The Knicks have been doing this the past, what's been 3 games or something with OG. They're coming up on the All-Star break. There's really no reason. They've got this game and one more left. If he's hurting at all, just rest the guy. Get him back healthy after the All-Star break. Get this team ready to go. But Indiana, say they got Miles Turner that's questionable tonight, too, that I have a feeling they might take the same approach with. So keep an eye on both those injury reports. But Knicks, I think, could be a good look live. The one bet I do have in the NBA tonight, I'm laying it with the Grizzlies. I laid it at 3, laid a little bit more at 3.5 last night. It is out to 3.5, 4. FanDuel still got 3.5 out there, though. I think anything up to 4.5 would be bettable for me here on the Grizzlies side. Their injury report is looking clean. Suns, look, Bradley Beal's out for this game. This organization is in just complete chaos right now. Kevin Durant coming back to this team after it looked like he could possibly be traded. The vibes in that locker room have just got to be weird right now. We know that they made a big attempt to go get Jimmy Butler, pair him alongside with Kevin Durant. There has been nothing but bad reports about what the Phoenix situation is looking like in that locker room, in that front office right now, and what what the communication has been. And then you just look at what the Grizzlies have done, 12-6 over their last 18 games, plus 6.2 net rating, looking really good recently for this team. And John Morant's cruising right now. Memphis 10-4 ATS their last 14 games. Phoenix 1-4 straight up and against the spread over their last five. So struggling a bit. We've also seen him struggle at home this season. So this is a Memphis bet for me tonight. I laid the points with them on the road.
Yeah, I mean, look at them. They're 500. What are they currently occupying? The 11th seed in the West? They're struggling everywhere. Home, road, it doesn't matter. This Phoenix team's as disappointing as any. And I always find it funny. We just flashed up the game graphic for this one. You've got Memphis, the best ATS team. Look at those ATS records. You've got the best covered team in hoops taking on the worst covered team in hoops. Memphis covering 2 out of 3. Phoenix barely covering more than 1 out of 3. Do you think that factors into the line at all? Do you think it ever gets inflated because Vegas might look at that and say, oh, well, the casual bettor is going to say it's the best ATS team against the worst, and they're going to run to bet Memphis?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Joe, but it's one of those where the bettors and books, right, it kind of show you where they've been off on both these teams, right? They've underrated the Memphis Grizzlies for most of the season, overrated the Phoenix Suns, understandably so, with the players that they have. Pretty much all season. It is interesting. I think when you get to this point in the year, I usually check in on these numbers like once a month or something like that. Because really, it really just shows you more which teams are being kind of underrated and overrated in the market. And these are, like you said, two of the best examples out there on either side of it. Memphis had some interesting injury stuff going early in the season that I think that helped play a part with. But as far as baked into this specific line tonight, not all that much. This is just more of Phoenix just a disaster right now. I've been picking on them the past couple games. I played Denver the other night against Phoenix, and I see no reason to back off that approach right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, and you know this, right? We balance each other well because I'm the college hoops guy. You're the NBA guy. I hardly place any NBA action. I think I'm getting in on Memphis in this one.
Yeah,
I mean, Phoenix is astoundingly overrated. You look, they're only catching 3.5. Now, preseason, you'd probably be floored to see that they're catching 3.5 at home against Memphis. But even so, I mean, they've covered just 8 out of 26 at home this year.
Yeah, it's pretty absurd what's been going on with them at home. Those numbers have definitely been adjusted. We've seen that throughout the season. But yeah, like Memphis tonight. I know College Hoops, you're looking at a couple games, right?
Yeah, I've got a few in the college hoops lane. We'll dive in more, obviously. But, you know, we talked about it with our buddy John Martin, the correct John, who we had on the line earlier. And I'm big in this Alabama game. You know, I got it last night. I wasted no time. -3. Now you're seeing 4s and even 4.5s out there. But I think Nate Oates' team, and you know, I kind of love to hate Nate Oates, going back to when he was at Buffalo and I was a student at Bonaventure, and he'd come in and, oh, there's such a trashy student section and their fan base. And so I look to fade Nate Oates, or at least root against him any chance I can. I can't here. I mean, I absolutely cannot go against the guy in this spot. This Texas team, don't forget, they were ranked. They were top 25 preseason.
Yeah.
They've been such a disappointment. Bama in conference play, I mean, you know, they received votes for good reason to be the number one ranked team in the country. They're coming in here second ranked, 9-1 straight up conference play in the best conference in hoops, 7-3 against the number. And they've actually been better on the road, 5-0 straight up, 4-1 against the spread away from Tuscaloosa. What I love about this Bama team, their 3 straight up losses, they were actually sizable favorites in all of them. But as a favorite of 4 or shorter, and this one's fallen on 4, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the number.
They hit
the glass great. Number one scoring offense in the country. Number 2 in rebounds. Texas, in terms of offensive boards, just 13th in the conference in attacking the offensive glass. Mm. They're not going to get second chances, and you know that they can't outshoot Alabama. So if they're not going to at least get second chances or try to dominate them, bully them inside on the glass, I don't see a path to victory for Texas.
I like it. You got any futures bets in your pocket right now in college basketball?
I haven't yet, but the SEC is so deep.
Yeah,
I would stay away from Auburn. And we could talk about that on the other side. The SEC conference tournament is going to be very intriguing to me. I think Tennessee can make some noise. I think Florida can make some noise. We'll dive into that down the stretch a little bit here. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. More a numbers game after the break.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Folks, in sports betting and in trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Just go to bubbatrading.com/VEASAN and get a free ebook on options trading and use the code VEASAN500. You'll save $500 on any purchase. The numbers game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through this fine Tuesday morning here on VEASAN and taking you back now to our progressive guest line as we get ready to talk about the Four Nations face-off with VEASAN's NHL betting analyst. Follow him at West Coast Hockey on Twitter, our friend Jonathan Davis. Jonathan, how are you? Welcome into the show. And, you know, as we've got a new experimental tournament here, kind of set the scene for our audience and break down what we should expect with this new Four Nations face-off.
Well, guys, thanks for having me. And, you know, this is kind of like, for an NBA fan, this is like a bunch of dream teams. They're all getting together from, you got four different countries participating here: Canada, the U.S., Finland, and Sweden. And especially when you're talking about Canada and the U.S., these are dream teams. You know, Canada's got Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, and Connor McDavid all playing on the for Team Canada. The USA has got Jack Eichel of the Golden Knights, Austin Matthews of the Maple Leafs, and the Tkachuk brothers, just to name a few. So you've got major star power here. I think the one thing for me that I'm most intrigued about is how physical this game gets, because if you're going up against one of your NHL teammates on another country, are you really going to lay them out with 25, 27 games to go as you're trying to make a run for the playoffs in the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, that's a great call. That's part I didn't really think of before, but we're kind of in an all-star break. It's a weird, you're putting on the sweater of your home country. You would think you're going to try as hard as possible, but you're right. I don't know. You want to go and injure one of your NHL teammates or something. That's something wild to watch. I want to hit on the futures with you before we kind of get into some of the games. How are you been approaching just kind of handicapping this and breaking this down? And USA, Canada, should they really be co-favorites here at the top at plus 160?
I think they should. And, you know, they are the two best teams. And you could argue that the U.S. is actually stronger than Canada. They have the better goaltending here. You know, you've got two guys in Connor Hellebuyck from the Winnipeg Jets, who's got almost as many shutouts as he does regulation losses this year. That's remarkable. He is an MVP candidate. And then if Connor fails, then you've got Jake Oettinger from the Dallas Stars. Canada's a little weaker in goal. Aiden Hill, the Golden Knights, is their best goalie, but Canada's very strong up front and on the back end. So, you know, Canada-US, by the way, Saturday night, is that's the big game. That's the one that everybody is looking forward to. That's the game in Montreal. From a handicapping standpoint, the way I'm approaching it is that I'll take a look at not trying to find someone to, you know, be the leading scorer for the tournament, but really I've gone through individual teams in my column up on VEASAN.com, where I'll go for who I think will lead their team in goals and who will lead their team in points. Because, you know, this is all about usage here. And because you've got such deep lineups here with such talented players, I'm looking for guys that are playing on one of the top two lines and also getting power play time.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about before we get into the individual games, the MVP market here. You mentioned Hellebuyck. He's 12-1. To win it. Is that where your money is going in this, or do you find value if you look a little deeper down the board? Obviously, McDavid at 7-1, the clear choice to be the favorite in this market.
Yeah, I mean, look, there was an informal poll that The Athletic took, and I think Connor Hellebuyck was the winner. I mean, it's fair for me that, you know, if you're talking about, now, sorry, are we talking this tournament, or are we talking about the league?
For the tournament.
For the tournament. Yeah, I think that, you know, look, if the USA wins, there's a good chance that Connor will be the guy. I think that with Canada, there's just too many weapons to choose from here. So for me, I would rather go with Connor Hellebuyck to win MVP as opposed to Connor McDavid.
All right, I like it, Jonathan. So we got I don't want to give away everything that's up at VEASAN.com. I know you wrote up a bunch there, but opening games here, we're starting off today. Any action on the one here this morning, or this afternoon, I should say?
Actually, no, we're starting tomorrow. Tomorrow night, it's Canada and Sweden, 8 o'clock Eastern in Montreal. You know, basically the way I'm going to target it is that I've looked at two players for Team Canada. And that's both Cale Makar, their defenseman. I like him for the most points in this tournament. And then I'm going to go with the Vegas Golden Knights as my long shot for most goals, Mark Stone. He's playing on a line with Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby. Guys, if I'm in the opposition, I'm focused more on Crosby and McDavid. And Mark Stone can just kind of sit by the side of the net and just wait for one of those two guys to pass and then just tuck in an easy goal. So I'm not going to look at individual games and go for, you know, necessarily individual points in a game. I'm just right now I'm sticking with my future bets. I'll take a look tomorrow and get a better idea of where we're at for some of the lines for the games, but I'll stick right now with the futures. I think there's much better value there.
Yeah, Jonathan, and I want to get into some second half futures for the NHL season, but last thing on the Four Nations I want to ask. The U.S.'s first game Thursday against Finland. You mentioned Hellebuck and how high you are on him and all of his shutouts and the tremendous resume he's putting together. This total is sitting up there at 5.5. Would Hellebuck make you lean under in this one?
I'll tell you guys, if I had to bet, if I'm betting a total, I would actually tend to lean more to overs because I have a feeling that we're going to be playing almost like beer league hockey, as we like to say. You know, the guys getting together tonight, no one wants to hurt each other. I think we may see a lot of free-flowing play. I think we may tend to see a lot of goals in these games. I'd be scared about playing 5.5 with all the firepower on all four teams.
All right, Jonathan, I want to shift gears to the NHL second half. We were, 11 days away, Saturday, February 22nd. We return into action. And this Eastern Conference, to me, feels like it's pretty wide open. So when you look at the futures, Carolina, the favorite, plus 320. You've got Florida, obviously, 4-1 there. Toronto, my Devils, mixed in. And then the Capitals at 7-1. I mean, Washington's got the most points far and away, yet they're sitting there at just 7-1. Can you make sense of that for us? And where would you be looking in this Eastern Conference futures market?
Well, yeah, there's just very little respect for the Washington Capitals. I mean, they have caught everybody by storm. This was a team, you're not familiar, that made the playoffs last year with one of the worst goal differentials in NHL history. They gave up 37 more goals last season and made the playoffs than they scored. They've turned things totally around this year. You know, Alexander Ovechkin is the story in Washington. But I think that everyone's wondering, are they going to be playoff, are they playoff ready? Florida Panthers, defending Stanley Cup champions. My concern with Florida is that, you know, they played a lot of games the last couple of years in going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. Are they going to have enough left in them? But it's hard to bet against right now Florida to make it through the Eastern Conference. I think they're still going to make a trade. I'm not as confident with Carolina and their goaltending. So I still am buying into what the Florida Panthers are selling.
Jonathan, shifting over to the West, how do we see this stacking up right now? We're seeing the Oilers 3-1 for the short shots to win the Western Conference. How do you see this playing out down the stretch?
You know, I'm waiting for the Golden Knights to make a trade because that's what Kelly McCrimmon, their general manager, does. He somehow finds a way to sneak guys in under the salary cap. In the past, it's been based on injury. But this team has only got one goal in mind with owner Bill Foley. It's to win. There's no participation prizes like you have in, our kids playing soccer or what have you. So I like the Golden Knights. I think they're one of the best rosters in the NHL. My only concern with Vegas, guys, is that their record against number one goalies in the last 13 games, they've only got two wins. Their success has come against backup goalies. They've won 13 of 14 against teams playing either their second, third, or even four string goalies. So they've got to get better in that area, but I think for Vegas, look, they've been there before. They know what it's all about. They're going to make a trade. It's hard for me ever to bet against the Golden Knights.
Jonathan, before we let you go, we mentioned Washington in the East, 7-1. Winnipeg in the West, 7-1, just to win their conference, not even to win the whole thing. Any intrigue there on the Jets?
I'd have more intrigue in the Capitals than the Jets. Huh. I just think that, look, Connor Hellebuck's has not proven it in the playoffs. His last 2 years, he's folded up like a bad tent. I'm a little concerned. They're really, they're a great regular season team. I just can't go against the Golden Knights, but I do see where there's value in playing Winnipeg.
Love the hometown love here for the Vegas Golden Knights. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at West Coast Hockey. That's HKY for hockey. VSiN's NHL betting analyst, Jonathan Davis, got some great articles and insights up on VSiN.com, which can be yours, $9.99, your first 30 days if you go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up now. Does that baffle you at all, Kelly, that the Capitals and Winnipeg Jets are both around 10 points ahead of the next best team in their conferences, yet they're just 7-1 to win their conference?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Man, this the fact that Ovechkin's even a thing for like this race for Gretzky, like this
that he's
is
still
this
a thing.
Is, yeah, it's wild.
I know, it's like he came out in 1996.
But he's 15 goals out, right? Yeah. 15 goals out. Like, this is going to be fun as hell to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, and he can get healthy because Russia's not in the face of the, right, yeah, face the nation thing.
They were now, left now we're getting, out, apparently.
What is it? Four Nations? I keep calling it Face the Nation.
Nations face off.
Like we're watching politics on a Sunday morning. More a numbers game after the break.